March 16th, 1968. You were a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and what was your mission that day?
To provide aerial scout reconnaissance to the ground troops we had inserted on the ground that day, and try to locate, get out in front of them, try to locate the enemy, draw fire from the enemy, and let the infantry people know, you know, where it was coming from or where to watch out for or take it out.
So then that morning you took off. You flew over the hamlet of My Lai. I understand you didn't see many Viet Cong troops that morning.
Now, when we, on our first pass, right after the infantry had been inserted, and they were inserted away from the village, they had, you know, they had a little area to cross, open area rice fields to get to the village. We made our first pass out in front of them. We did see one Viet Cong exiting the village with a weapon. I told Larry to, you know, get him.
Larry was your gunner, Larry Colburn.
Yeah, right. And we missed him, and he made it into the tree line and got away, and that was the only sign of danger we encountered that whole day. We never received a round. We never saw anybody with a weapon, and no weapons were captured that day.
So what did you see when you flew over that hamlet of My Lai?
A lot of people moving around. No resistance. There was no fire. At some time, knowing where we had to go fly from to get there on station, I would estimate that I probably stayed on station about probably 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And that would give the infantry enough time, you know, to approach the perimeter of the village, at which time we would have to go get refueled. On a normal operation, I'd be relieved with another team just like my team, a scout helicopter and two guns. For some reason, there was no relief that day, and the only thing I can contribute that to is there was nothing going on.
What did you see that made you think something was going wrong on the ground with this mission?
Apparently, when we had left to go get refueled, and we came back, and we started noticing these, you know, large number of bodies everywhere. And throughout the village, not throughout the village, in certain areas of the village. They weren't there before. People on the road, you know, dead, wounded, and just sitting there saying, you know, God, how'd this happen? What's going on? And we started thinking what might have happened, but you didn't want to accept that thought, because if you accepted it, that means your own fellow Americans and people you were there to protect were doing something very evil.
And who were the people who were lying in the roads and in the ditch, wounded and killed?
They were non-combatants. They were old women, old men, children, kids, babies.
Babies.
No weapons. And don't get me wrong. Every person that died that day or got murdered could have been a Viet Cong, just with no weapon visible. Mm-hmm. They could have been a Viet Cong sympathizer. But the way I was trained and the way American soldiers are trained is if Hitler walks out of a bunker and lays his weapon down, he's no longer your enemy. He is a prisoner of war.
We're talking with Hugh Thompson. He's the man who stopped the My Lai massacre, and his story is told in the book The Forgotten Hero of My Lai, The Hugh Thompson Story by Trent Angers. I'm John Wiener. We're live on KPFK. So, Mr. Thompson, you saw these bodies of unarmed non-combatants from the air in your helicopter. What did you do then?
At one time, we saw a wounded young lady kind of thrashing about, and we called on the radio to get some help over to her, a medic, you know, to help her out, because there was no weapon visible, no weapon there. And a few minutes later, we backed off from a hover. He said we were flying a helicopter. Well, my maximum altitude that day was probably 20 feet off the ground.
Huh.
And we backed away from Pop Smoke on her, backed up a little bit so the rotor wash wouldn't blow everybody away that was coming up to check on her.
What does that mean, you popped smoke on her?
Well, you carry smoke canisters with you. Mm-hmm. And if you want to identify a location, you know, you pull a pin, something like a hand grenade, just a smoke grenade.
So this is a marker so people can find this spot.
So we popped smoke and backed away a little bit. And a few minutes later, we saw this captain walk up, nudge her with his foot, and step back, put his weapon on automatic and killed her. And we couldn't understand that. There was a lot of confusion, you know, in my aircraft right now because we had called for help for an individual and got her killed.
So what did you do then?
We continued to recon, and the next big thing, I guess, was we came across a ditch that had, I'd say over 100 bodies in it. And we noticed some of them were still alive. And we were thinking, how'd these people get in the ditch? And we had the thought coming in our mind, but I wouldn't accept it at first. Because I tried to come up with scenarios of how they got in the ditch, like they were hit with the artillery when it came in, or when the Americans came through, they just gathered up all the dead bodies that had been killed by the artillery and thrown in the ditch. And we couldn't live with that one either because there were, you know, people in the ditch that weren't wounded. And then the thought kind of sucked in that these people might have been marched down in the ditch and slaughtered. So we stopped again, sat down, got out of the aircraft, went up to a lieutenant and a sergeant, told him there were some wounded civilians in the ditch. Could they help them out? Said they could help them out of their misery.
They could help them out of their misery.
Yes, sir. And I said, oh, come on, guys. Quit joking around here. They said, okay, we'll take care of it. So this guy back in the aircraft and took off. Glenn Angerata, who was my crew chief, I was sitting on my left, and as I took the aircraft off and made my turn, we heard machine gun fire going off, and then Glenn comes over the intercom and just says, my God, they're firing into the ditch.
Let me just remind our listeners, we're talking with Hugh Thompson, the man who stopped the My Lai massacre. His story is told in the book, The Forgotten Hero of My Lai, The Hugh Thompson Story by Trent Angers. So you saw what happened in the ditch.
I didn't see it. Glenn did.
You land then. Sometime after that, you landed again.
Yeah, we saw. We couldn't deny what was going on, and I want to bring out the infantry soldier has the hardest job there is in the military, I think, and I admire him as long as they, you know, do their job honorably and how they were taught. We put 190 people on the ground that day. Only about 13 to 18, maybe 23, took part in this. Mm-hmm. Not everybody did, and everybody, a lot of other people were as outraged as I was. But later, we saw some civilians hiding in the bunker, cowering, kind of looking out the door, and saw some advancing Americans coming that way, and I'd asked for help twice now and got people killed. So I just figured it was time to, you know, do something to, you know, not let these people get killed. So landed the aircraft in between the Americans and the Vietnamese. Told my crew chief and gunner to cover me. Got out of the aircraft, went over to the American side and said, you know, there's some civilians right up ahead in the bunker. Can you help them out? And I towed them with a hand grenade, and I guess that's when I got a little hot and told them just to hold their people there. I think I can do better. And I've already told my people to shoot if y'all shoot. Let's be cool. Whatever. And I thank God to this day that everybody did stay cool and nobody opened up.
So you told these American troops that if they if they fired on the Vietnamese civilians in the bunker, that you and your crew would open fire on them. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So basically you put your own life and the lives of your crew in between those Vietnamese civilians and the American soldiers who were advancing on them at My Lai. You risk your lives to protect those Vietnamese civilians that day.
Well, it didn't come to that, so I don't know. It was time to stop it, and I figured at that point that was the only way, you know, that this madness or whatever you want to call it could be stopped.
Well, then you did stop it that day.
We are given credit for that, yes, sir.
Well, Hugh Thompson, let me just say to you, thank you. Thank you for what you did that day, March 16th, 1968, in My Lai.
Thank you very much, sir.
You know, I know a lot of people call you a hero, but you've been somewhat reluctant to accept that. Why is that?
We were doing our job, and that's what we were trained to do. I think that a definition of a hero is someone who goes far and beyond the call of duty or whatever you want to, you know, however you want to express it. We're just doing our jobs.
Hugh Thompson, people say civilians sometimes get killed in the confusion of the battlefield. What do you say to that?
That's a fact. I have probably killed some civilians before.
And is that what happened in My Lai that day? Civilians got killed in the heat of the battle?
No, sir. There was no battle.
And people also say, well, things like this happen. That's why we say war is hell. What do you say to that argument?
I say, yes, war is hell. But people refuse to, I think, believe the ones who want to deny. They haven't studied it. They don't realize how big this was. This was taking unarmed people. They can be enemy. That doesn't matter. They're taking unarmed civilians, in this case, or enemy, putting their hands over their head, marching them down in the ditch, setting machine guns up on either side and automatic weapons, and killing them. It happened. I've had, you know, veterans come up and say, God, thank you for what you did. You stood up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up for Americans.
Trent, let me ask you a question. Trent Andrews, author of The Forgotten Hero of My Lai, the Hugh Thompson story. To me, one of the most amazing thing in this very strong and moving book is it's called Appendix Number 1. It's a list of the 504 people killed in the My Lai massacre. The names of every one of them, Vietnamese name, age, and whether they were male or female. I have never seen a list like this before. How did you decide to put this in the book, and what did it take to put this list together?
The Embassy of Vietnam in Washington, D.C. helped us to get this list. These are only 504 of the 2.3 million or 2.7 million, whatever the number is. And this was an effort to humanize the people. We did something of an analysis of by age and so forth, and we found that there were about 50 people who were age 3 years old or younger, which is to say age 1, 2, or 3.
50.
Right, there were 50 babies, essentially. There were 69 people who were between the ages of 4 and 7. There were 91 between the ages of 8 and 12. I think that these numbers speak for themselves as to the horror of what happened at My Lai.
Trent Andrews, the book, The Forgotten Hero of My Lai, says that during this period where the Army investigation was going on, there was an attempt to bring charges against Hugh Thompson. What can you tell us about that?
The notion that any American war any American soldier would be convicted of the same sorts of crimes that the Nazis were convicted of course, was unacceptable to the to these members of the House Armed Services Committee. So they went about the process of legally attempting to sabotage the My Lai trials to turn the tables on Hugh Thompson, to set him up to be court-martialed, and to send him to Fort Leavenworth for a good part of the rest of his life, for mutiny, essentially, or for to try to portray him as working against the American cause. I did research in the National Archives and found thousands, of, if not tens of thousands, of letters and petitions that people signed in support of Kelly, which was scary.
Hugh Thompson, you testified against Lieutenant Kelly in his court-martial, and he was eventually found guilty. Was justice done in this case, in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, first of all, I don't blame the public for getting involved and getting outraged about and supporting Kelly during all this. I contribute that as they didn't have the facts. And if somebody goes out and murders or responsible for murdering 504 people, and I think the U.S. count's lower than that. That's the Vietnamese count. I personally think the Vietnamese missed a few.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think life in prison, later reduced to, I think it was 20 years in hard labor, later reduced to 10 years, I believe it was, and then, after serving 3 days in a stockade, be given a full pardon. I don't really think that justice was done for 504 people.
We only have a couple of minutes left to talk to you too. I wanted to follow the story to the happier ending. Hugh, you were finally awarded the Soldier's Medal by the Army, acknowledging the value of what you did. That was awarded on March 6, 1998 at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. You've also recently taken a trip back to Vietnam. You went back to the hamlet of My Lai, and you met some of the people whose lives you saved back in 1968. Can you tell us a little about that trip?
The trip was very much a roller coaster. There were real good highs and very low lows. One of the ladies that we had helped out that day came up to me and asked, Why didn't the people who committed these acts come back with you? And I was just, devastated at that.
Yeah.
And then she finished her sentence, and she said, so we could forgive them. I'm not man enough to do that. I'm sorry. I wish I should be. I wish I was, but I won't lie to anybody. I'm not that much of a man.
And you said there were some highs as well as that low.
There's always a question in my mind. Did anybody know? We all aren't like that. Did they know that somebody tried to help? And yes, they did know that. So that aspect of it made me feel real good.
Well, my conclusion here today is that the massacre of 500 unarmed Vietnamese civilians at the hamlet of My Lai was committed by Americans, but it was also stopped by Americans. And Hugh Thompson, thanks to you. Thank you for what you did at My Lai, and thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you, sir, very much.